Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number to be part of the conversation at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram as well. Hey, Bart, did you see this news from earlier today? We got a lot of different headlines to get to.
What news? Buffet day?
It's a buffet day for sure. Mm. Is it Thursday? Do I have the right day? Because yesterday I thought it was Thursday.
Yes, throwback Thursday, baby. Throwback.
Man, I swear to God, I thought we were almost done with the week. I didn't realize it was another day. This came across this morning, and I was like, wait, is this – I didn't know if this was like a joke or some type of ruse. It's not April 1st. Mike Tyson,
yeah, man,
is going to fight, and not this is not
an exhibition. He fought Roy Jones before.
But
that was a real fight. But Roy Jones knew how to protect himself, and he wasn't going to put himself in harm's way. But
Netflix is getting into the fight game, and you have said that for a while that they were trying to get into stuff. So they're going to have this as like their premiere. Here we are in the fight game. Mike Tyson at 57 years old. Is going to fight Jake Paul. And it's going to be at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, who just knocked out a bum in the first round. And just so people who may not be aware, who doesn't keep up with all this type of stuff.
Yep.
Jake Paul's been calling Mike Tyson out for a couple of years. And nobody takes Jake Paul seriously. He fights former MMA players. And listen, one of my high school kids is eating off of Jake Paul, right, and Logan Paul.
Okay.
Logan Paul, I believe, went more to wrestling. But Jake Paul has been, doing this boxing thing. He's making millions of dollars because he's selling an event. But he's not really in harm's way. He fought some washed-up MMA fighters. He watched some, K2 or whatever his name is, K1, whatever his name is, who's a big media guy, lost to him, fought Tyson Fury's brother, lost to him. He won't fight real boxers. And listen, he has skills. Ask Nate Robinson. Had Nate Robinson face down, ass up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So he can fight and he has skills, but nobody in real boxing takes him seriously. Now, he's fighting a guy like Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson is past his prime. He's 57 years old, but he's still Mike Tyson, still a huge name, still a huge draw. Mike Tyson confirmed it for me when I seen him that he put it on his Instagram and put the fight there. I hope, and I'm hoping that Mike Tyson – puts an end to all this and hits him with one of them shots to the stomach or to the head and night-night. But we know if it goes past three, Mike, even in his heyday, when it goes past three,
starts to wear down.
Yeah, isn't able to wear down.
Such a power puncher.
So let's see.
Let's get the details out. I think this is really interesting.
It's Mike Tyson.
I understand. I think it is because it's Mike Tyson. Like, it starts there. But Netflix is getting into this and into more sports and live events.
So is Amazon.
Apple, they're all doing it, right?
It's getting
Max
into boxing.
Has really been a big part of it, too. And they did a 10-year deal for the WWE, as you know, to get Raw. And that starts
billions
next January.
Ten-year
deal, right. It's valued – this is valued at more than $5 billion. Just that alone. So they're really investing in this.
Yeah, wrestling is huge.
Of course. Yeah, so this is showing you Netflix is really trying to get involved in this kind of stuff where it's going to draw a lot of eyeballs. AT&T Stadium, it's 80,000 people. You're getting 80,000 people in there?
You may get 100,000 because, remember, the ring
is on the
field.
Yep.
So they're going to have floor seats, and floor seats are going to be on the field, so they can squeeze 100,000.
You think you can get 20,000 more?
And listen, I'm sure Tyson will make $50 million and Jake Paul will make 20. Crazy. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he's found a niche where he's making $40, $50 million. He's making more than real boxers putting on these displays. And he'll have a couple undercards that people will respect. He may even have a real undercard with real fighters that's a sanctioned fight. and he's going to have some, like, grudge match. And, you know, he has a woman fighter that he promotes. I think she couldn't fight because she had an eye injury in the fighting commission where his last fight was, which was only last week, wouldn't clear her. So he's doing a tremendous job. And it's a show pony show, right? The same thing when he fought Floyd Mayweather. It's a dog and pony show. But people want to be entertained, and I don't think they really care so much about
– 30 years older than Jake Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 30 years
older. But he's Mike Tyson. And when he fought Roy Jones, and when you seen him last couple years ago, he was shredded like a Julian salad. Right?
And you could see when he does the videos of just him throwing punches, you can still see that the guy, like his movement, it doesn't look slow at all.
Right. So, and you talk about Jake is like a lightweight, light heavyweight fighting a heavyweight. Tyson's probably going to come in at 220, something like that. And Logan Paul's probably going to come in at 205.
I mean, think about it. He's 10 years older than what George Foreman was when George Foreman was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, but remember, Bernard Hopkins fought his last professional fight at 51.
He did? Okay.
So it's not
50. Yeah. So we've had guys over in their 50s?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Bernard Hopkins, you know, won a title at 49. I think he beat Pascal in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, and then he got knocked out of the ring by the Crusher, like, the year after that. So, you know, it's going to be a real thing, and I guarantee it's going to Duke's crazy numbers. You talk about how crazy is it that Netflix can put a non-boxing match on and it's going to do more than probably this week Anthony Joshua and Ngannou. It's probably going to do more than Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're giving me names that I've never heard of, but I know Mike Tyson is.
Right, because this is going to get this is going to get the casual fan because he's a YouTuber. Remember, this dude came all the way from Nickelodeon. His brother was one of the first people to start with YouTube and having their own YouTube channel. It became huge like that, doing stuff like Jackass used to do back in the day. Mm-hmm. Then a kid died or something, and then they got in trouble, got kicked off of Nickelodeon. You know, two Cleveland kids that have found a way to make a huge name for themselves.
Yeah, both of them. But so this is going to be – so it was announced. It's July 20th. It's going to stream live on Netflix. And I'm just like – I'm just thinking to myself, of the things you look forward to in the summer, like, you know, sporting events – I got to be honest with you.
It's going to be in the middle of everything.
You know, you're obviously, you love boxing. Like, you're deep into it. You know me, though. I think you've known me long enough to know how I am with boxing is I will watch when it's a good fight. Like, I'm into it. I like boxing. I really do. But I can't just watch, like, a random fight. It's like, I need it to have some type of sizzle. I'm the casual that will be drawn in when there's a great marquee. This one's going to have me drawn in. Like, this is fascinating to me. Tyson actually put out a statement saying, I'm very much looking forward to stepping into the ring with Jake Paul at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. He said he's grown significantly as a boxer over the years, so it will be a lot of fun to see what the will and ambition of a kid can do with the experience and aptitude of a GOAT.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Now,
Tyson's taking it seriously makes you say, okay, all right.
You think this is a real fight? This is not one of those, like, exhibition, we're just going to put on a little show.
Listen, Tyson don't know how to do that, bro. Tyson don't know how to do that. Like, it's another fun fight that's been brewing for a while, and that's Rampage versus Rampage from MMA.
I know what you're talking about.
He's fighting who's my guy name? Champ. He's actually was the heavyweight champion for real.
Okay.
They finally fight. I think they're fighting in Saudi Arabia, which is going to be a huge fight.
Okay.
Shannon Briggs. He's fighting Shannon Briggs, and that's a real fight that's coming up. And they, you know, Shannon Briggs been trolling him and teasing him on the internet probably for like if anybody wants to see something funny, just follow Shannon Briggs. Everybody know him from Let's Go Champ. You know what I mean? He's a guy that, you know, probably has more first round knockouts than anybody from Bronzeville. He's super entertaining, super funny to watch, and he's got all these memes. He's putting Rampage on fat people, and he's just talking over everything, and Rampage is really getting irritated with it. But Rampage is stepping into a world that he doesn't know anything about because he was a striker in MMA, and he was a GOAT. But Shannon is 6'5 and a real boxer, so it's going to be entertaining watching that journey. So, I mean, we're starting to get to this world. You know, Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, right? And Adrian Peterson got knocked out, and they were really fighting, and they had skills. And he and Le'Veon Bell caught him with a counter, you know what I'm saying? And I can swear that I saw Adrian Peterson's son in the crowd stand up and clap for Le'Veon Bell, you know what I'm saying? For all them whoopings that he got from his daddy. He was good to see his dad get his ass kicked. Oh, right? So that, now we're to the point now where, remember, we used to have tough man competition, butter being type of exhibitions and stuff like that. I think we're back now because it's like now we're getting to see guys that are skilled, right? You watch Logan Paul, like I said, my friend from high school, like, you know, is one of his fighters that comes in and spars with him and gets him ready. And I'm sure he'll be using him because he was a heavyweight before, and he fought James Toney from my high school before he went to prison for 11 years. So he's there with real fighters, and he's a real fighter, but he never fights real boxers. Like, it's not like he's stepping in and saying, hey, I want to fight. Let me go and go through the circuit and fight, because there's no money in those fights, right? Those fights, guy might make $300,000. He's making super fights where I think last year he made $45 million just for two boxing matches last year, because he's putting on these events. And if he's able to get Jerry Jones to say, hey, I got Mike Tyson and we want to come to your stadium, just imagine how much money he's going to go there just from the gate and all that stuff. So to each his own. For boxing purists, it's laughable. And
so
it's
you're not into this.
Listen,
it's Mike Tyson. Aren't you curious?
No, he's fighting Mike Tyson, so the danger is real. Yeah. But he lost to Tyson Fury's brother, who has a win total of 3-1. So when he fought a real boxer, he lost.
Right.
When he fought a real boxer, his age and his weight division, he lost.
Yeah, he's 9-1.
So now he should be 9-2 because he lost to K1. So now he's 9-1. Mm-hmm. Each one of those fights has been Nate Robinson, a fat MMA fighter that hadn't fought in a long time.
Yeah, and Mike Tyson knows out of his nine wins.
Mike Tyson knows how to not get hit with the easy 1-2s that he's knocking people out with. And I doubt if he gets in close with Mike Tyson, because Mike Tyson, we know how Mike Tyson can pivot and change angles on you, hit you with that uppercut and hook to the body. So, you know what I mean? I hope, like, Mike Tyson, like, 15 seconds, night-night. You know what I mean?
But would not be something.
But yeah,
but that's what I mean about it. It's a spectacle, but he knows, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? It's a spectacle.
At any time, If he loses and gets knocked out and gets embarrassed, then the gig's up. But the fact that he's fighting guys, he can fight, he can protect himself, and he's taking it, you know, he trains hard, all that stuff. You know, I got to applaud him for what he's been able to do, but
I think he's taking it serious.
No, he trains his ass off.
Jake Paul wants to do this.
What I'm saying is he trains his ass off.
Yeah.
But he's super strategic about who he fights. Like, He fought a wrestler, MMA guy that had a name, but he was a wrestler. He wasn't a striker.
So what he's doing is more like, he's not trying to win the belt. He's just trying to make money.
It is no belt for him.
People.
Yeah, it is no belt. Right? Yeah, he's fighting and he's acting like he's a, yeah, but he's not trying to be a real fighter. Like, his brother is huge in WWE.
Yeah,
and his brother, you know, tore his knee up doing a stunt, jumping off top rope. Right. He takes it seriously, and he's in real danger because he's fighting and wrestling real, you know, real people, right, real stunts, real threats.
Yeah.
So far, fighting Nate Robinson is not a threat. You know what I'm saying?
When you mentioned the Nate Robinson fight, because I'm reading now Jake Paul's statement, and he said, "It's crazy to think that in my second pro fight, I went viral for knocking out Nate Robinson on Mike Tyson's undercard." Did you know that? So that fight was when Tyson fought
Roy Jones?
Really? I don't even remember that. And he goes, "Listen, 4 years later, I'm stepping up to face face Tyson myself and see what I have, what it takes to beat one of boxing's most notorious fights."
Don't say boxing. Don't say boxing. Don't say boxing, man. This is an exhibition fight. To me, this don't even reach the level of Golden Gloves, man. Stop it.
Golden Gloves?
To me, this is not an exhibition. It's a real fight.
You guys that are boxing aficionados that love the sport.
Nobody's taking you guys seriously.
Just won't take this seriously.
Because when he fought a horrible boxer,
right,
he lost. Tyson Fury brother, he lost to a horrible professional. Right. He's fighting older people. He's fighting people that aren't boxers in a sanctioned fight. He's not fighting a boxer. He can't, to my opinion, he couldn't beat, you know, like he kind of plays this game, right? He plays this game where he calls out Canelo. But he ain't really, like, he will die if he fought Canelo. You understand what I'm saying?
It's amazing. I think regular people need to see this.
Right? Regular people are going to see it just because it's a spectacle. It's like going to see the circus.
Yeah, but the, like what you're saying, though, because boxers are such technicians when it comes to fighting.
And they know how to protect themselves, and they're in shape, and yeah, they're in their prime.
You can't just walk in the ring and think you're just going to throw, you know, throw fists. You can't just throw hands with a boxer. It's just, I mean, you don't do that.
I mean, he fought Floyd Mayweather, but Floyd Mayweather is a welterweight.
He's
fighting
lighter?
A light heavyweight. Yeah, yeah. Floyd Mayweather is 150, 147, yeah. 150.
Smaller, right.
He's 205, 190. Like, come on, man. Mm. Like, go fight somebody. Go. Let's see you fight somebody for real to take you seriously as a boxer. Now, as an entertainer, you know, I'm sure they're going to have maybe a huge rapper come out and rap and do something.
Well,
and,
again, the connection to the WWE, you think his brother's going to be there? Of course he is, right?
His brother will be there, but oh, I don't know. Like, but I'm saying talking about entertainment-wise. I'm talking about entertainment-wise.
Come on, you know they're going to play that up.
No, usually what they do is, because it was another league, I forgot, they'll have his brother come. I mean, they'll have like a rapper come rap and do like a mini concert in between sets.
Yeah, they do stuff like that. This will yeah. be a good way for Netflix to kind of get into the game.
Yeah, they'll probably – listen, they'll probably have a legitimate undercard. You know, if Tyson are making 20, 30, 50 million, they'll have a guy that's willing to come put on a hell of a fight for $500,000, right? Or $1 million perks. You know what I mean? That'd be a real sanctioned fight. So they'll have some couple real fights on the undercard. That's kind of how they do it. And then they're just, you know, the main event. Like, who knows? They're smart. I would get Alicia Bumgarner, and get Clarissa Shields, who've been beefing, but they're professional, real women fighters, and they can fight, both from Detroit. And you know, Clarissa Shields is undefeated. You know what I mean? She's like the Lisa Les. I mean, she's like Layla Ali. You know what I mean? She's undefeated. She's been knocking mm-hmm. everybody out. She got mad swag. And then Bumgarner is like a smaller version of her, and she's been knocking everybody out as all well. Right. So it's gonna be interesting.
It's a good
call in if you want. If you like this, let's talk about it.
3776 And clearly, like, is this an event you're looking forward to? It's the summer. You know how it is. The summer gets quiet.
That's perfect. All we got is a weak ass Olympics.
It's a late July too. It's July 20th. So you've got smart. Just the beginning of training camp for football.
They're
the,
smart.
The NBA offseason is kind of quieted yep. at that mm-hmm. point. There's really nothing
just
happening.
Baseball.
And then, obviously, like you said, it's Olympics, but Olympics are another week after that. I think I don't think the Olympics start that.
Yeah,
that
and listen,
early,
and listen, if it ain't sprinters, ain't nobody watching anyway.
It's summer is still fun. July 26th, yeah, so it's a week after July 26th. Jake tells me that it starts. So we also keep an eye on the NHL trade deadline because the Rangers already got a little active yesterday. Alex Wennberg, they get him from the Kraken. And so there's one, but the name to keep watching, Jake Guentzel is still being tied to the Rangers, some other teams as well. There's other teams involved in this, but the Rangers are still sort of connected to that one. And the last I saw, they had a morning skate. He was out on the ice with the team, but, you know, there's a lot of speculation out of Pittsburgh right now. I mean, Wennberg's a good addition, but if the Rangers just keep going for it, you know, that's what you want to see. That they just keep, like, loading up and saying it's time. Chips to the middle of the table. In the NBA, Bart, how about this? Have you seen injury news now is starting to stack up?
What did I tell
NBA?
You? And this is what we were talking about, right? Can the Knicks get healthy when other people start going down and going through their injury?
Crazy stuff to get to on that. Minnesota, which is the number one team in the West, who everybody looks at.
Carl.
A great defensive team. A major announcement this morning with Carl Anthony Towns having a knee issue, and there's going to be more on that. So what happens there? And, of course, what's the summer impact on that too, by the way? As I've mentioned, Kat and the Knicks, you're not going to avoid that. There's that. There's LeBron James dealing with an ankle injury now that he's been kind of maintaining. He's had this for a while, but he had to leave the game last night, and that's not good. I mean, they still got to play. They got to win a lot of games just to get into the play-in.
And they took the L.
And they end up losing.
I love
how about Golden State bouncing back last night too.
Yeah, but
everybody they put on the Bucks.
Everybody goes from one extreme to the next. I watch Perk with Draymond Green back, and they're playing like this. They're like, bro, they just got their ass kicked. it was at the end of a road trip. Like, bro, they go from one extreme like you trash one game, the next game everybody like, oh man, they got a shot. Like, I mean, like, I'm like, come on, man, these insiders, like, they got to stay in the middle, man. They can't keep going from one extreme to the next.
So, all right. So there's that. And then last but not least, of course, there's Ben Simmons with the Nets and that announcement today.
Yeah, man. When he just medically retired and they give him his money, he can go back to Australia and go, you know, chase kangaroos.
He's too young, but they said he's out for the remainder of the season. He's going to consult with specialists
again
and explore more treatment options for this nerve impingement in his lower back. It just keeps flaring up. He can't, like, remember Amari Stoudemire went through this.
And did he come out of it?
I mean, eventually, but he was never the same. But Amari had this back thing and the nerve that he had to get a thing they called debridement. They have to shave
his spine down.
And I don't think Ben wants to go through surgery. I think he's trying to avoid it as much as he can. But we're reaching a point now with him where that's another year lost.
We're reaching a part where we don't care, right? Because even when he plays, who's going to pay for 8, 10, and 5?
Well, if they're a better team when he's on the court.
Yeah, but who's going to pay for 8, 10, and 5 at $20, $30 million a year?
Well, I know, but he's got his contract right now. He just has to play. But this is keeping – so, again, he misses. Like, the Nets are trying to make –
that's going to go down as the worst – that might go down as the worst trade. And it's hard to say that because they traded for Kevin Garnett.
Well, think about it. The Sixers got James Harden, and then he walked. Right? So – the Sixers ended up with nothing.
They got Ben Simmons, and he's nothing. And they got Ben Simmons, and they got nothing but treatment and a roster spot and inconsistency.
But now when you thought – I didn't even mention this. So the Cavs, by the way, Donovan Mitchell is dealing with a knee issue, and he's at least for the rest of this week, you won't see him. And we'll see how he feels to come back next week. He's going to miss a couple of games. He missed the Knicks game. And they lost again last night, by the way, the Cavs did, without him. And you know who else is out for them? Evan Mobley.
Yeah,
Evan Mobley
he's always hurt
his ankle and 2 nights ago. And so he's out now. Everybody's, of course, thinking that it was the Deuce McBride crossover that got him. But no, he got hurt the night.
And I feel like with Evan Mobley, some players,
for the Cavs. Yeah. They were in second. Yeah. They're dropping like a stone now.
Some players like Brunson, he hurt his knee. Oh, he'll be all right. With Evan Mobley, he hurt something, he done.
Yeah.
He done for a while.
It's it's incredible the injury news that's happening, and I'm sure Knicks fans will find a way to blame all of it on Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau, played his players too long.
He pushed the other team too hard. Meniscus, right? Because six years ago, when Tibbs played him too much, he wore him down. Like, it's incredible how we all talk about players breaking down as if it's a singular thing. Look around the league. Guys are getting hurt. Guys are getting banged up. Some guys can't stay on the court.
Yep.
It's just reality.
You always
this is a long season. It's a marathon. That's why it's remarkable, Bart, how the Celtics,
Trains never late.
Stay healthy. They have been remarkably healthy this year, and that's why they've been so good.
Trains never late. That means Porzingis is due.
Who knows? But he has actually stayed healthy lately. So there's some serious injuries to talk about in the NBA, the standings and how what's happening in the standings right now. A lot of things to get to. And
can I throw something else on the barbecue?
Oh, you got something else. Go.
Let's talk about the collapse of the Buffalo Bills. And I tell you all the time when that credit card bill is due, when you pay your quarterback, and now they've already cut 5 players. They're 2 top starting corners. They're highly paid left corner, and they still ain't under the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that because the door could be opening for the Jets.
Yeah, there's opportunity right now for some people who want to add some players. So there's that. Again, football I didn't even get to with some other headlines there. So much to get to. Let's get the calls rolling. 800-919-3776. We just gave you the menu. The full buffet is open. The menu is out there. We laid it all out for you. Everything that you want to talk about amongst all those different topics is really so much of it. Audio files, of course, coming up later on as well. So let's get it rolling. 800-919-3776. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. High expectations for Juan Soto this season. Almost as high as the bidding will go after the season when he becomes a free agent. Yesterday in the K Show, the guys asked Buster Olney how much Soto could be looking at.
I think the Mets are going to be involved, and I think the Yankees are going to be all in to get him. They obviously are, you know, have to be cognizant of how far they go beyond Judge because of what they paid him in the past. But he's going to wind up, I think, having a chance to surpass Ohtani's contract in terms of present-day value. The $700 million figure with Ohtani, of course, is a joke. It's a mirage. His actual present-day value is $461 million. And Soto has a chance to be at that number, I think, with these two teams involved, 100%. And it's up to him to have a big year. You know, I've told you guys before, when he started in San Diego, he started slowly. He wasn't completely comfortable. He acknowledged that as time went on.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, the number. Full buffet today. We gave you the menu in the first segment. We got a lot going on in the world of sports. Injuries in the NBA all over the place at this point now. Impactful type injuries. Russell Wilson and what the hell's going on in his situation now? Where do you see him landing? And should the Giants at least kick the tires on that situation? And then just this, all of a sudden, this news that came this morning, Mike Tyson is going to get back in the ring fighting Jake Paul in July on Netflix. And
what? I wonder if he's going to come out to Will Smith. I think I can meet Mike Tyson.
Let's get to the calls on this and more. Yeah, the Nets talking about Ben Simmons shut down again for the rest of the season. So it's over for Ben Simmons and more back issues for him. And we got a lot going on. So let's get to calls. Anthony in New Jersey, start us off.
Hello?
What up, Matt?
I can't. Yeah, Anthony, not Matt.
I don't
see this fight actually really happening. I mean, Mike Tyson, it doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Unless Mike is broke, because Mike's got more to lose than Jake Paul does.
Hold on. First of all, Anthony, let me let you know, Mike Tyson has one of the most thriving marijuana lines ever. Mike Tyson's probably worth $500 million right now.
Listen, I am.
So it's not about the money. No, it's not about the money.
4 years of background in boxing, and I know that.
Okay.
There's no way. The reason it's in July, because we don't put fights on in July and August, because nobody watches them. But this is free, and Mike Tyson's name is involved.
This ain't free, Mike.
Get you an audience.
Mike, this ain't free. You're going to have to subscribe. If you don't have Netflix, you got to subscribe, and I think it probably will be on pay-per-view. But also,
I say free, I mean pay-per-view. It's not. Is it pay-per-view?
It probably is going to be pay-per-view.
You're right. It's not pay-per-view. It is.
So it's
Netflix exclusive.
So, Anthony, also, Mike Tyson fought 2 years ago. He fought Roy Jones, and it wasn't like pity pat. He was throwing hands, and him and Roy Jones was throwing hands. So it's not like Mike hasn't been training.
Did you see that fight?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, how many headshots did Mike Tyson throw? Four the whole fight? The rest of the time,
No. That's because Roy Jones was not putting himself in harm's way. He was on them toes, backpedaling, and Roy Jones, being a former lightweight champion and heavyweight champion, know how to keep himself out of trouble and wasn't engaging. But Mike was throwing real shots.
You can believe that if you want, but
I'll have to. But Mike, I understand you were a boxer, but I know what I saw, and I know what I've been seeing. I keep up with Mike Tyson a lot. It's not like he's not a guy that's in shape. It's not like he's a guy that can defend himself. I mean, Bernard Hopkins fought at 50, and he won a title, and he fought a young man that was 20 years younger than him, and Jean Pascal in Montreal.
Yeah, so that was there.
Okay, so you know that people in their 50s can fight, especially when he's fighting a guy that's not a real fighter.
I understand. You also know that fight before that, one of the two of those fighters went down twice, and it ended up being a draw.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Mike Tyson, a professional fighter fought Roy Jones 2 years ago.
The Pascal Hopkins fight. Okay.
I'm not talking about that. But he still fought.
No, I understand what you're saying. Look, it's a great move for Jake Paul. I give him a lot of respect. He works out hard and he does all he's watching.
But he doesn't fight a real fighter. Jake Paul doesn't fight real fighters. He lost to Tyson Fury. He lost to who? Tyson Fury, who couldn't punch. And it is a professional fighter, Tyson Fury's little brother, I'm sorry. He lost to him in a real fight. And Mike Tyson is a much better fighter and a much more powerful man than...
Tommy Fury's more well-known for Love Island than he is a boxer. The record of guys that he's fought, I think, are 1-56.
So that's what I don't understand what your point... That's what I don't understand what your point is in saying Mike Tyson is just there to play games.
It's got to be publicity stuff. There's no way.
That Paul's been doing. What do you think?
I'll agree with you on that. This is definitely a wave. Okay. This is what Netflix is doing to draw attention to the fact that they're diving into this stuff, and Mike Tyson's name is going to help them do it.
But it's real dangerous. But it's not like it's not real danger.
From any other championship level boxing matches that we tend to have in the Februarys and in the Octobers and stuff. We don't have it in the summer. So this is a way for Netflix to do it without getting in the way of other bigger events. And it's Mike Tyson's name. So, of course, it's going to be a publicity.
I agree with that.
But
it doesn't mean it's not a real threat or danger.
I'm going to watch it.
The kid can still punch. Yeah. He still has a shot.
Everybody's going to watch it because of Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Right, of course.
I don't want to say they're not going to get viewerships.
They're going to break records. They're going to break records.
Of course.
Jake Paul fought Floyd Mayweather. That was a real fight. Right? Floyd goes around.
Floyd or his brother?
Huh?
Logan fought Floyd.
Logan. Logan, Jake. Yeah, Logan. He fought Floyd Mayweather. He didn't get knocked out because he's a bigger man. Right? And Floyd's at welterweight. Right? So Floyd walks around at 154. This dude's 190, 200. Like, he fought Floyd. It was a real fight. So that's what we're here to see. Can Mike Tyson knock this kid out and ruin what he's trying to do? He's not fighting real boxers because he knows
he couldn't. I don't even know if it's about Jake Paul. I'll be honest with you. Again, I'm the novice here. You guys are both boxing
aficionados. He's been calling Tyson out for a long time.
I know, for me, it's just to see, does Tyson have something left to put on one more show for us?
I'm telling you, he does, because when he fought Roy Jones, those first three rounds.
I know you're telling me he does. I'm just saying.
Those first three rounds is going to be real.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's why, like I said, I'll be watching it.
Because Tyson's going to try and make quick work. Tyson's not in there to get embarrassed.
Will anyone
else? He's one of the most ferocious heavyweight fighters of all time. He's not going in there to mess around and get clipped.
But you can hear it, right? Like, Anthony he's a boxing fan, and he's, like, downplaying this. He's not excited about it because I understand it. But boxing fan, this is not for you. Like, remember I did the thing about faces of the league and how you draw in fans? This is not for the boxing fans. This is for people like me. Casuals who will be drawn in by the name and want to see a spectacle. That's what this is. And I wonder if everybody else feels like I do, where I'm like, you know what? I'm curious to see this thing.
But what I'm saying is, I didn't understand the skepticism. Like, really, of course it's a show, right? It's Mike Tyson at 57 fighting.
He was basically saying that he was downplaying the fact that this was significant.
He was poo-pooing it.
Yes.
he was saying like, oh, Mike Tyson can't defend himself. But then he told me he was at the Jean Pascal fight in Montreal when Bernard Hopkins was 50 years old. Punch, right. And that was a real fight. No. No, he's talking about the Roy Jones.
I mean the Roy Jones one, right?
No, I'm talking about Bernard Hopkins, the assassin, fought a real fight before he got retired at 51 by the Crusher and got knocked out the ring. He fought Jean Pascal, who was a champion, not some scrub, a champion. He was 20 years older than him, and he won the championship at 50. So if Bernard Hopkins can beat a real fighter in his prime at 50, Mike Tyson at 57 fighting a dude that's not a real fighter, that doesn't haven't fought championship fights. Mm-hmm. You telling me that I think Mike Tyson could knock this dude out? And that's the intriguing part, because everybody wants to see this kid get knocked out because they know that he's the fights that he put on are setups. And I think some people, just like they watch Floyd, even though they're like, well, maybe Logan Paul because he's bigger. Hopefully he can knock him out. Because they want to see a guy get knocked out that they don't. Some people don't like, some people do like, and they want to see it happen that way. People love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is beloved now in his second act of his life. Mike Tyson went from being the guy perceived as the rapist, the savage, to being like eloquent with his one man show, to like how funny he is, how self deprecating he is, dancing, putting the Bubble Bee suit on, to his marijuana, to his weed gummies.
He has had a renaissance.
Yes,
he has recreated his
and
image.
Everybody loves him from Hangover. Everything. He's beloved now. Yes. So now people want to see the beloved. Like I feel like the new generation love Mike Tyson. They don't remember the rape charge. They don't remember the savagery. They don't remember him knocking out the guy outside of Diaper Dan's. You know what I mean?
You can't forget all that stuff, though.
I'm saying the young people, they don't care. They weren't there. They're living in the moment. All they know about Mike Tyson, he's the funny guy from Hangover. That he's self-deprecated, that he's funny, that he's got a cool weed, that are the shape of the gummies are the bite that he took out of Vander Holyfield's ear. That's what they know.
And by the way, Holyfield was part of that whole marketing thing too, which also adds to the whole thing. Don't forget, Mike Tyson was also the guy that pummeled the kid that was annoying him on the plane.
Yes, punched him in his face.
And 55,
and everybody wanted it. Yes, because the dude was trying to get punched, and he got what he asked for.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get more calls. 800-919-3776. Mike in Long Island. Mike,
what's going on? I'm just a little worried about the integrity of this fight. If you think about the Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather fight, there was no winner. So I don't see what Mike Tyson has. Why he would fight this?
What does he have to lose?
The kid has been calling Mike Tyson out, and he's fought 10 fights, and he hasn't looked like a bum. And Mike Tyson loves what all people love: money. And I guarantee you, Mike is making $50 million, and I'm guarantee he's getting a big percentage of the gate. You know, not that Mike Tyson doesn't have any money, because like Mike Tyson is worth like $400 to $500 million with his weed line and everything. It's like every brand has been partnering with Mike Tyson for the last 10 years, has brought him back to bankruptcy, all from bankruptcy to worth $500 million.
Yeah, I get it, but I mean, if Jake lands one lucky punch and somehow gets this dude on the mat, and knocks him out,
man,
his whole legacy could be tainted. He got knocked out by a YouTube kid. Why would you risk that if you're already rich? That's why I think it's tainted. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you why. Because an athlete dies two deaths. His natural death.
I respect that, yeah.
His natural death and his athletic death. Mm-hmm. And this is just scary enough to make Mike Tyson want to live his life and want him to train. A healthy fear or something, right? Something that he can look forward to and push himself to. Why do you think Shannon Briggs is getting into the ring at 50 to fight Rampage? Because they desire and want that. See, boxers never had an outlet that they can go do something like that. Why you think Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell went and fought? Former running backs. Because when they retired from football, they needed something to feel alive. Mm-hmm. So they said, hey, this guy was my equal in football. Let's see if he's my equal in boxing. And I guarantee you, everybody there believed that, oh, man, Adrian Peterson, physical runner, downhill. Big hands, hardest handshake. Probably thought he gonna whoop Le'Veon Bell ass. Wrong. Le'Veon Bell knocked his ass out. So nobody cares about like the discrepancy in like talent. Like they care about, hey, because of his youth, because of his activity, because if he can maybe make Mike Tyson tire out at 57, how many rounds can Mike Tyson really go? Maybe this is something that this is an equal, more equal matchup than we want. That's all we care about. We care about two equal people. I forgot the basketball player that fought the football player and knocked his ass out. Little light bread dude that used to play for the New Jersey Nets. And he was he just had a tough, longer reach.
Richard Jefferson?
No, yeah, Darren Williams. Darren Williams.
Don't forget, Darren Williams.
He got in the ring and fought. He fought a football player.
Right, I know that. But people
forget,
too.
Frank Gore. Frank Gore won his fight.
And Darren Williams, let's not forget, though, he also was trained in martial arts. Like, this guy has been fighting, so he had some hands.
Right, like, but Frank Gore was in mad shape. Frank Gore was in mad shape and had knocked his guy out. He fought a real boxer and won. So when we watched that fight, we just realized that, oh man, the tough football player, the little skinny basketball player, oh, man, he gonna whoop his ass. No. And Darren Williams fought long and tall and had Frank Gore on the end of them punches.
Darren Williams is like 6'3", right? Like he's,
and
small.
Frank Gore is like 5'9"-ish.
In the NBA, it's so, like for instance, you look at Steph Curry and you think he's small, and then you meet him in person and you realize, no, he's 6'3", man. He's bigger than you. Like it's just – like you don't realize he's still large for the average man. So NBA players who are guards, they only look small in games, but then you get next to him and you realize that they're not small according to regular people.
So what I'm saying is, and what I want to go back to, is the fact that people ask why.
Because Mike Tyson, by the way, his current net worth is $10 million.
No, don't believe that.
Well, it is it's well documented. His current net worth is $10 million.
Don't believe that.
Okay. I'm just letting you know.
I saw $400 million. He has a whole weed line.
Right, but
okay.
His net worth.
Okay.
It's net.
I got you. So he got a lot of bills and stuff that he hasn't liquidated. He still has bills over something. I got you. All right.
Yeah, that's how net worth works.
I got you.
Not his gross worth, where things he owns.
I got you.
I'm just letting you know, just so you know. Like, so he's not broke. All right, let's put it that way. I was trying to say it in a way like, you know, he's clearly not broke. He doesn't need the money.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's more than that, I guarantee. All right. But all right. But what I'm saying.
I want to get. We should get him on. Promote it.
If he sells his weed line, I guarantee that thing's worth $200
million. That's what makes it net worth, right?
Everybody buys his weed, so I guarantee you. Pretty damn good.
Let's try to get him on. I know you know people.
Yeah. I know Espinoza.
Right? Let's get him on. We got to get Ocho on. He wants to come on and talk.
Why did Ocho fight and get his ass knocked down?
Why don't you fight Ocho?
Man, that's a different weight class. Come on, man. Quit playing.
Who would you fight? If there was a, if you could get into a fight, like you have time to train.
It has to be somebody that I respect and somebody that's in my weight class. I would have to fight James Harris.
Oh, wow.
No. I have to fight James Harris.
James Harris. That would be something.
Debo, right? He was a tough guy, mean guy.
Yeah.
I'm a tough guy, mean guy. We used to go against each other in special teams. We used to have to go after each other. You know what I mean? He was supposed to be their goon. I was my team's goon. It would have to be James Harrison. Steelers versus Ravens.
Yeah. Everybody
sees how strong he is afterwards. Yep. He's lifting all these weights and how strong he's playing volleyball with the medicine ball and all that type of stuff.
I know. That's a hilarious video.
I would need people to say, okay, oh, man, oh, James Harrison, man, he's a killer.
James Harrison looks like a specimen. How old is he? How much older than you?
We're the same age.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
No, he's a little bit older than me, maybe 2 years.
How long would you need to get ready for a 12-round fight?
Yeah, I'm 43.
Yeah. How much time would you need to get ready for a 12-round exhibition?
Probably about 2 to 3 months.
2 to 3 months?
Yep.
I mean,
Ocho, listen, I give Ocho so much respect, man, to go out there and put yourself out there on a whim to get knocked out, the possibility of getting knocked out. And he got dropped. Remember, Ocho got dropped in this fight. Mm. But he fought. Brandon Marshall was supposed to fight somebody, too. I forgot who he was supposed to fight. But, like, you know, guys make $1-2 million for this fight, for the fight. I'm telling you, listen.
No.
Athletes are wired different. So anybody think this is a spectacle? Athletes ain't showing up to play around, man.
If they
commit to it, that's a real commitment, man.
I understand.
Like, boxing training, you can get your ass knocked out into it,
right? That's what I'm saying. You just walk into the ring. You got to put time into it, and you have to invest time and invest.
I just want
to know one thing before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Could I be a Paulie?
If I could be anybody in the world. So you trying to tell me that he's Ivan Drago?
You're all hot, bot. You're all hot.
If I could do anything.
And then right before we go in the ring and I see James Harris, I'm going to go, you remember when I said I wanted to be you? Forget it.
If I can unzip myself and become anybody in the world, I wouldn't be you, right?
Remember what I said? I love what he does. He gets to the ring and he goes, "Remember what I said? I want to be you." Forget it.
But the famous Paulie line is, he's out there. What is he doing? He's getting beat. No, he's not. He's getting mad.
He's not getting killed. He's getting mad. I love that line. All right, we got more. Lots of calls to get to. I love it. They're stacked, racked, and ready to go. We'll continue with them. And coming up, stay here. Don't change the channel, because I have Knicks injury update news for you that you do not want to miss. It is next. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got calls to get to, 800-919-3776. We'll continue the buffet with all the headlines. And another one just popped up, Bart. So as we opened the show with several different things, including all of a sudden this rash of injuries happening around the NBA, Karl-Anthony Towns, of the Timberwolves, suddenly he, like Embiid, has a meniscus injury. Adrian Wojnarowski and also Brian Windhorst reporting that they don't know how long they're going to miss him now. And that's huge for a Timberwolves team. It's one of the best in the Western Conference. Ben Simmons out for the season with Brooklyn. The Nets made that official. He's still dealing with issues with his back and nerve impingement. So now he's got to find more ways that he could fix this problem. It's eventually going to need surgery. I mean, I imagine that's got to be the next one. Cleveland Cavaliers, without Donovan Mitchell, is dealing with a knee soreness thing that's kept them out pretty much all week. And now Evan Mobley is out with an ankle injury. So there's two starters gone from a Cavs team that was once number two in the East. LeBron James dealing with an ankle injury that he said he's just going to have to manage at this point. But that knocked him out of the game last night. The Lakers lost a game last night. So all of these injuries are all creeping up all around the league, right? Well, where are the Knicks right now with all their injuries? Jalen Brunson, most of practice today he was involved in. That's a good sign. Woo! They play Friday, which is tomorrow, if I have all my days right, because yesterday I thought it was Thursday. So the Knicks play tomorrow against Orlando, and Jalen Brunson participated in pretty much most of practice, according to Tom Thibodeau. Good sign. Now, we don't know. They'll probably still list him as questionable, but because they want to see how he feels after practicing. But that's good. You want more?
More.
How about this from Fred Katz, The Athletic? OG Anunoby went through contact drills, and he's playing 5-on-5. And Tibbs said that he's pretty much day-to-day at this point. Not cleared yet to play, but OG Anunoby now day-to-day. He's in full contact, and he's practicing 5-on-5. That's significant.
Chance.
So you're talking about, could it be next week? They got those two games against Philly, then they go on the West Coast trip. As I said, I had a feeling it was going to be around this time that we'd start seeing guys coming back. OG looks like he's close. Julius Randle, we know, is playing through contact right now. Minimal, but still. So who knows, you know, what his situation is going to be in the next couple of weeks. And then there's one more for you. This is from Christian Winfield of the Daily News. You ready for this?
Absolutely.
Mitchell Robinson running and jumping. And Tom Thibodeau said that he looks good. And he said, he told me to tell everybody that I look good, which is typical Mitch. So Mitchell Robinson now doing basketball stuff, running, jumping, everything after ankle surgery. OG is going through contact, playing 5-on-5. Jalen Brunson back in practice. And Julius Randle, we already knew. We've seen him. He's been working out on the court before games. So, Bart, maybe there's a light at the end of this tunnel finally, and the Knicks might have gotten through this terrible rash of injuries where – at some points, four of their five starters were missing. And if you include Mitchell Robinson, you could argue that at some five of their starters have been missing for a chunk of this last couple of weeks. And maybe by next week and the week after, you'll start to see the pieces come back together. Big news today.
Like you said, maybe it's a rainbow at the end of after the storm, right? Oof. And, you know, their storm was earlier as everybody else is getting into their storm, and maybe they might not have the time to recover from it, right? Because, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, like Joel Embiid, that's a real thing. So that means he may be done. If it requires surgery.
That Carl Anthony Towns news that hit this morning was one of those where you went, oh, no. So this is, again, Woj was reporting this. Is he and Wendy. He has suffered a left meniscus injury. Remains unclear about how much, if any, time will be required to miss. They're trying to get a full understanding of the degree of the injury and if it demands immediate action, which, of course, immediate action would be surgery, like Joel Embiid had to go through. So is it a tear? Is it a partial tear that he could play through, which, you know, as we know, for basketball players, meniscus is enough, especially for the big men.
Yeah,
it just takes a little bit, and if it catches, oh, it's painful.
Yeah, at worst, you know, a clip here, a clip there, 4 weeks at worst. So if he has to go get it snipped.
That would take you to start of the playoffs.
Right, that's 4 weeks. And who's to know, like, that's 4 weeks of not doing anything, right? 2 weeks of just after surgery, 2 weeks. Then you talk about, like, the only person I've seen come back in 4 weeks from this was Ben Roethlisberger. And we know that he's, you know, as far as pain tolerance, he's a totally different dude.
Yeah, it's something. So the injury news, like I said, in the NBA, today has been a rough day injury-wise, but for the Knicks, for a change, some positive injury news. We'll get your reaction to that at 800-919-3776. Certainly more as the headlines continue, including the Russell Wilson stuff in the NFL. Bart, we kind of have lightly mentioned it, but more and more people are starting to ask, should the Giants consider it? If they are, as Rich Eisen said, done with Daniel Jones, and you don't know what you're going to get in the draft, should the Giants at least consider Russell Wilson? Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Sure, it's only spring training, but Carlos Rodon giving up two home runs yesterday and his velocity being down, not exactly what Yankee fans want to hear. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said Rodon has the pressure on him this year.
It's going to come down to what this rotation looks like after you get past Gerrit Cole, and he's the guy that needs to step up.
Rodon has to give you something, and so far in his Yankee tenure, are you talking about pressure on a guy? I mean, there's pressure oozing out of what's going on with Carlos Rodon right now.
Yes. I could say probably in the landscape of New York sports, he's probably he's got to be at that top of that list.
Because he's getting paid a boatload.
Yeah, he's getting paid a ton of money. It's his year two of a six-year deal. Now you have questions about Rodon. You got Nestor coming back from an injury. Even when he pitched last year, wasn't very good. Yeah, like it is vital for Rodon to figure it out.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN. We'll be right back.